And don't say we don't splash out on guest speakers now and then. Chris.
Thank you to Marcus for that bit of that drama and bit of poetic license. He did mention a letter that was written by Paul. And I actually have that letter here with me this morning. It's the letter to Philemon. So I'm going to read that to you all. From Paul, who is in jail serving Christ Jesus, and from Timothy, who is like a brother because of our faith. Philemon, you work with us and are very dear to us. This letter is to you and to the church that meets in your home. It is also to our dear friend Apphia and to Archippus, who serves the Lord as we do. I pray that God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ will be kind to you and will bless you with peace. Philemon, each time I mention you in my prayers, I thank God. I hear about your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and about your love for all of God's people. As you share your faith with others, I pray that they may come to know all the blessings Christ has given us. My friend, your love has made me happy and has greatly encouraged me. It has also cheered the hearts of God's people. Christ gives me the courage to tell you what to do. But I would rather ask you to do it simply because of love. Yes, as someone in jail for Christ, I beg you to help Onesimus. He is like a son to me because I led him to Christ here in jail. Before this, he was useless to you. But now he is both useful to me and to you. Sending Onesimus back to you makes me very sad. I would like to keep him here with me, where he could take your place in helping me while I am in prison for preaching the good news. But I won't do anything unless you agree it first. I want your act of kindness to come from your heart and not be something you feel forced to do. Perhaps Onesimus was taken from you for a little while so that you could have him back for good, but not as a slave. Onesimus is much more than a slave. To me, he is a dear friend, but to you, he is even more, both as a person and as a follower of the Lord. If you consider me a friend because of Christ, then welcome Onesimus as you would welcome me. If he has cheated you or owes you anything, charge it to my account. With my own hand, I write, I, Paul, will pay you back. But don't forget that you owe me your life. My dear friend and follower of Christ our Lord, please cheer me up by doing this for me. I'm sure you will do all I have asked, and even more. Please get a room ready for me. I hope your prayers will be answered, and I can visit you soon. Epaphras is also here in jail for being a follower of Christ Jesus. He sends his greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, who work together with me. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be kind to you.
Okay, morning everyone. I'm going to start by playing a little game, and it's called Who's the Goody and Who's the Baddie? Okay. First of all, can anyone tell me who these two people are? Go on.
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who and...
Dalek.
It's a Dalek. Which one's the goody and which one's the baddie? Okay, hands up who thinks Doctor Who's the goody? Yes, he is. Okay, so Doctor Who's the goody and the Dalek's the baddie. Okay, question two. Who's the goody and who's the baddie? Does anyone know who these are? Go on.
Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker.
They are Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker from the film Star Wars. Okay, hands up if you think Darth Vader's the goodie. No, Darth Vader is the baddie and Luke Skywalker is the goodie. Okay, next one. Okay, does anyone know who these are? Does anyone know who these are?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. And who's the other one? That's right, yeah. Okay, and which one, who thinks that Harry Potter's the baddie? No, Harry Potter is the goody, Voldemort is the baddie. Okay, last one. Maybe a bit trickier if you don't have children under six, okay? are they? Hands up if you can tell me who they are. Yes, so they're from Toy Story. The bear's called Lotso and the cowboy's called Woody. Hands up if you think that Lotso is the goody. Hands up if you think Woody's the goody. Yeah, Woody is the goody and that lovely, cuddly-looking pink bear is the baddie. Okay, and in many films and TV programs and stories today, there's a goody and a baddie, and we quite like to think in those terms. Okay, but it's not always easy in real life to make that kind of distinction. Now, what Chris just read to you was a book of the Bible, a whole book of the Bible, and it was a letter written to Philemon, and it tells us the tale of two Christians, Philemon and Onesimus. Okay, the first one was Philemon. Okay, he became a Christian after meeting Paul. Okay, and the point the letter was written, he was living as a Christian in the town of Colossae. He was part of the church. As far as we can see from the letter, he was a kind and a loving and a faithful man. In fact, the church even met in his home. Okay, the second man was Onesimus, and he was one of Philemon's slaves. And Onesimus had stolen money from his master and run away. But then, whilst running away, he also had met Paul, and he also had become a Christian. Okay, and we're told in the letter that Onesimus has been really kind and helpful to Paul when he's in prison. And after some time, Paul sends Onesimus, the runaway slave, back to Philemon the master with a letter explaining that Onesimus has become Christian and Philemon should go easy on him. So, who's the goodie and who's the baddie? Well, for us today, it might be quite easy to sort of cast Onesimus as the goodie and Philemon as the baddie because we don't have slaves today, okay? So it's easy for us to kind of think, well, Philemon was the oppressive, evil master, okay? And poor Onesimus was the innocent victim. But we need to understand that in Roman times, basically, pretty much anyone who could afford to had a slave. You might think of it as the modern equivalent of having a washing machine or a car. Okay, we know today that cars cause accidents and pollution, but many of us still have them. Okay, so we've got to go a little bit easy on Philemon. He was just doing what everybody around him did. And in the eyes of the average Roman, Onesimus would have been the baddie. Because he not only stole from his master, but he ran away. And this was such a serious crime in Roman times that it could be punished by death. But the law did allow the individual masters to decide how to punish their own slaves, which is where Paul's letter comes in. We should also probably be aware that even though some slaves were treated badly, a lot of them were treated very well. Many people saw their slaves as like a member of their own family. And there's no reason for us to think that Onesimus was treated particularly badly. It's very likely that Onesimus was treated very well and that he abused his master's kindness by stealing from him and running away. Maybe you are wondering why we are bothering to look at this letter. Maybe you are thinking most of the letters that made it into the Bible have general points about, for example, how to organise a church or Christian living. This is just a letter about one specific thing going on in one person's life. Okay, you might then say, we don't even have slaves, okay? So what's it got to do with us today? But hopefully as we look at the letter, it will become a little bit clearer. And I want us to look at two particular verses to start off, okay? This is verses 17 and 18, and it says, if you consider me a friend because of Christ, then welcome Onesimus as you would welcome me. If he's cheated you or owes you anything, charge it to my account. And here Paul was making quite a staggering suggestion to Philemon. He was basically saying, treat Onesimus as if he were me, and treat me as if I were Onesimus. The suggestion is that Paul is not only offering to pay back what Onesimus has stolen, but he's also offering to take whatever punishment Philemon might have had in mind for him. Now, one thing that might strike you about that is that it's a bit unfair. Paul hadn't done anything wrong. He didn't deserve to be punished. Onesimus, on the other hand, had done something wrong and certainly, according to Roman law, did deserve to be punished. Humans are wired to want justice. We want bad deeds to be punished, and we want bad people to face justice. And I expect that Philemon probably felt that it was a bit unfair too. Maybe when he got the letter, part of him was thinking, why should Onesimus be let off the hook? Why shouldn't he get the punishment he deserves? Philemon had lost a slave and he'd lost some money, and he probably wanted them back. The reason that we want justice is because justice is good and right and fair. But there's something that's better than justice. When Paul asks Philemon to forgive Onesimus, one reason he gives is this. In verses 15 to 16, he says, it may be that Onesimus was away from you for a short time so that you might have him back for all time. And now he's not just a slave, but better than a slave. He's a dear brother in Christ. And I think Paul was trying to tell Philemon that there's something better than just getting his slave and his money back. Now, a few moments ago, we saw some goodies and baddies, and my favourite of all of them was Star Wars. Has anyone seen Return of the Jedi? Has anyone seen Star Wars Return of the Jedi? I was watching it a couple of weeks ago with my son, Sam, who's 5, and it was the first time he'd watched it, and it was the 900th time that I'd watched it. And Sam was really struck by the idea that the goodie, Luke Skywalker, didn't want to fight the baddie, Darth Vader, because he wanted to try and turn him into a goodie instead. And actually, the best thing that we can hope for a baddie is not that they get what's coming to them, but that they turn into goodies. Obviously, in real life, it's not so simple. We can't divide everybody we know easily into baddies and goodies. But we do all have people in our life that hurt us or wrong us. And maybe sometimes, like Philemon, we want justice. Maybe we even want revenge. Maybe we turn over in our minds how we'd like people to get what's coming to them. But if ever we feel that way, we need to stop and we need to ask ourselves, what is better than revenge? What's better than justice? What's a better outcome for that person than getting what's coming to them? Now, we actually don't know what happened with Philemon and Onesimus. All we have of this whole episode is just the letter. Okay, we don't know what Philemon decided to do. But we really hope that he chose something better than justice. We hope that he chose to accept Philemon not just as a slave, but as much more than a slave, as a brother in Christ. Paul also gives Philemon another reason to forgive Onesimus. In verse 19, he says, I should not have to remind you, of course, that you owe me your very self. Paul is reminding Philemon that he is not so different from Onesimus. It was through Paul that Philemon had become a Christian. Paul had led him to believe in Jesus, and so he's saying, in a sense, that Philemon owes him his life. And we today, I think, also need to be aware that really we have got a lot more in common with Onesimus than with Philemon. We all do things wrong. We all have debts that we can't pay back and problems that we can't fix. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen away from God's glory. Let's look back again at verse 17 and 18. Because this letter to Philemon helps us to understand what Jesus has done for us. When Jesus died on the cross, he did for us what Paul offered to do for Onesimus. Like Onesimus, we've wronged our master, and we have debts we can't pay. And Jesus approaches God on our behalf and says, charge it to my account. As we look at the words in red, treat Onesimus as if he were me. Treat me as if I were Onesimus. We can almost substitute our own names for Onesimus. We make mistakes, we mess up, Jesus pays. And again, it's not fair, really. But instead of being frustrated and angry about how God's grace and forgiveness are not fair, we probably should be relieved. So far, I've mainly been thinking about how this affects Philemon. But what about Onesimus? I think the situation would be difficult for him too. Okay, as we've said, Onesimus returned to Philemon, even though the punishment could have been death. It would have been really tempting for Onesimus to just carry on running, to set up a new life somewhere else, to forget his past. But instead, he chose to face up to it and to return. Put up your hand if your parents pay your mobile phone bill. If you have some way of your mobile phone bill being paid by your parents. Okay. Put up your hand if you've ever been to a wedding or a party that has a free buffet or a free bar. Anyone? Put up your hand, adults, if you have one of those cards for business where you can charge your expenses to your company. Does anyone have one of those? Yeah, I don't have one in teaching. I'm still waiting. Never mind. They sound really cool. And all of these are ways that we can charge something to somebody else's account. The trouble is, these things can often bring out the worst in people. We regularly hear parents complaining that their teenage children have run up a huge mobile phone bill. Okay, it wasn't so long that the MP's expenses scandal hit the headlines, where so many MPs were abusing the privilege because they forgot that it was ultimately being paid for by the taxpayer. Okay, many of us have seen what can happen at a party where there's a free bar. And the reason is because for some reason, sometimes when we hear the words, charge it to my account, in our head, we hear it's free instead of hearing someone else is paying. God's grace is not a free bar. It doesn't give us free rein to do as we please. And we need to live our lives in the knowledge that Jesus pays for our mistakes. What comes free to us comes at a great price to him. And Onesimus, I think, understood this. Onesimus knew that God had forgiven him for running away. He knew that God had forgiven him all the wrongs in the past. But he was aware that his actions had left consequences and that he needed to face up to them, even if it meant taking a risk. What does it mean for us today? Are we prepared to do the right thing, even if it means taking a risk? Do we have any situations in our past that we need to go back to? Any messes that we've made that we need to fix? Maybe where we think, I know God's forgiven me for that situation, but I never did make things right with that person. To sum up, grace is where God gives us the things we don't deserve. By dying on the cross, Jesus charged our wrongs to his account. And if it seems unfair, that's because it is unfair. We mess up, Jesus pays at great cost. If we grasp this, we'll do two things. Like Philemon, we'll try our best to show the same forgiveness and mercy towards others. And like Onesimus, we'll try our best to turn away from what we know is wrong and do what's right, even if it carries a risk.